Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. How are you? I ask because so many people I speak with these days are not doing so well. There is a lot going on in the world at present that can make even the hardiest person of faith in God worry or be anxious, even fearful. Now is definitely a time for us to be praying for one another. If you have a burden that you would like to share, I am certainly willing to pray for you. Simply drop me an email or letter and hit send, or drop it off at the post office. Mark@godisministry.org. That's Mark with a K. So Mark@godisministry.org. That's my email. Or write to God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Again, God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. I want to encourage you to reach out. I will pray for you and bring your request before God. All you have to do is ask, and you can certainly be praying for me. Let's seek the Lord together and invite Him to build us up, to strengthen, and to encourage us in these difficult days of struggle. Let's pray now. Our loving Father, our Abba, Daddy, really, in heaven, we come to you at this hour from wherever in the country or the world we are, and we ask you to give us a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we will know of your hope. Fill our minds and hearts with your hope. Remind us of the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe in Jesus Christ. We pray you will work in us by the strength of your might. Defend us from the evil one. Proverbs says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." So we run to you, our strong tower. In you we are very safe. I pray especially for this man or this woman tuning in who feels unsafe, for this person struggling with anxiety, restlessness, and dread. Will you meet them in their time of need and reveal to them who you are? This mighty, strong tower, you are our only sure defense. Thank you. Nothing that is going on in our lives, or in our nation, or the world comes as a surprise to you. So help us to trust you, to believe that you are doing whatever pleases you. Your sovereign will is being done, even though we sometimes struggle to see how. Lord, help us to just put our hand in yours and to walk with you through these fields of trouble. Let us feel how safe we are in the strong tower of our God. And Lord, often we do not even know how to pray. So we depend now on the Holy Spirit to make sense of this and every prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you all the time, dear friends. So if you have a personal request, let me know about it. As we turn our attention now back to Genesis chapter 3, we do so in this spirit of prayer. We pray continually, and here again we meet Eve as she is introduced to the talking serpent possessed by Satan, who starts poking around Eve's mind asking questions. These questions are designed to make the first woman doubt God's word. The serpent says, "Has God said?" And last time we began to look into Eve's response. Tragically, she misquoted God more than once. The serpent asked if God has said Adam and Eve could not eat from any tree of the garden. To this, Eve replied in a way that made God sound more severe than he was. Then she continued with her reply, making God sound less severe than he was. And then third, Eve made God sound less specific than he was. That's where we left off yesterday and pick up our discussion today. Let us see how Eve made God sound less specific than God was in his command given to Adam, who is, of course, Eve's husband and the only other person in the garden in Eden. To set this up, I have to read Genesis 3, parts of verses 1, 2, and 3. This will be sounding very familiar to you now if you've been with us. That's good. Let the word of God consume your mind, brothers and sisters. We all have enough junk taking up space in our brain, so let's dump a lot of that and replace it with truth. Genesis 3 reads, "The serpent said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" Did you notice in the reading that Eve failed to mention the name of the tree in the middle of the garden? In Genesis 3, verse 3, Eve tells the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden." But why doesn't she call this tree by its name? God named the tree in Genesis 2, 17, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve must have known this was its name, but she left it out when quoting God to the serpent. What are the implications of this? Well, I've thought about this. I personally find it an intriguing omission by the woman. And I was grateful to find a suggestion on why she failed to name the tree from a good old friend we have not had a quote from in some time. He is Gerhard Charles Elders, the Dutch Old Testament scholar who died in 1961, but thankfully leaving us with his commentary on Genesis. And he says that Eve intentionally did not give the name of the tree because of some doubt towards God that was already rising within her. She gives the location of the tree in the middle of the garden, but does not disclose the character of the tree. Its true nature and significance is left out. In other words, Eve's emphasis makes this tree seem like just another tree, like all the other trees. But it is not the same. This tree stands out in the garden as being the one tree not to eat from. By saying this, she has made the Lord sound less specific than God was. She minimizes the command commensurate with this specific tree, and again misquotes the living God. And this is so very dangerous. So we come to the end of verse 3 here in Genesis 3, and we find that Eve has, first, made God sound too severe. God is made out to be more severe than he is. Second, Eve makes God sound not severe enough. God is made out to be less severe than he is. And third, Eve makes God sound less specific than God is. And it is possible that you are thinking, yesterday and today was so technical. You were dealing with such specific detail on language, really picking apart what Eve had to say. Hey, Mark, what's the big deal about this? I mean, Eve gave the serpent the gist of what God said. She answered with the general idea. Well, for anyone feeling like this was an exercise in detail futility, let me just point out that misquoting God, even on something we consider minor, not getting his word right is sin. This is deeply offensive to God. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, when Israel was urged to obey God's law, listen to what the Lord said to them. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. "You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Deuteronomy 4, 2. If, like Eve, we alter, we add to, we take away, or we in any way edit the word of God, we sin. And this is tragically a common sin. Certainly what we might call the liberal church has done it, is doing it, and will continue to do it. But watch out for this also in the so-called conservative churches. I am reminded of this tendency to change the Word of God when a Christian person tells me about a new book they are reading, something purchased at Amazon or in a Barnes & Noble bookseller, and they give the title and or the author, and I nearly gasp. Or maybe a YouTube video they watch or a new podcast they've downloaded. Same gasp. The author or speaker certainly is not committed to the preservation of the Bible as it was written, and in many cases there is cause for concern as to whether or not this author or speaker is even a genuine Christian. Be very aware of those who are making quick money off of dispensing with what they say is the Bible. There's a lot of editing going on inside and outside the church today. To read what the Scripture says and to correctly interpret this as the very Word of God is our high calling, and it is demanding of us. Truly knowing what God has said takes effort. It takes time. And this is something I am committed to helping you with each day we are together. On God Is, we want to really dig in and see what God says and then apply that to our lives in such a way as to become obedient to His commands for us. Just like in anything you become good at, correctly interpreting the Scripture requires something from you. It takes discernment, using your brain, and sacrifice, saying no to other things so you can preserve ours for Bible study. But this is always worth it. If only Eve had taken the time and the effort to flee the talking serpent. If only she had been discerning and sacrificial in her moment. But she did not take God's word seriously enough. And what we will see as we continue with Eve again tomorrow is where this leads. So join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.